What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Fireside Yankees podcast. I'm Ryan Garcia, joined as always by Sam Lucchini. The New York Yankees had a phenomenal weekend. They got swept. The Brewers swept them. Game one was very uncompetitive. And then the next two games, Yankees had 2-0 leads in both games. They ended up losing both games. We'll talk about the bullpen. We'll talk about kind of where we're at with this team after that sweep. Are we ready to call it a season? Sam, is it over? I'm not even gonna ask how you're doing. Is it over, man? Is the season bleeping over?
Yes. Guys, it's over. It's over. We were the best team in baseball for, 5 weeks, whatever. You go to Milwaukee, you get swept, it's over. Team's not making the postseason. We're cooked. Sell everybody at the deadline. This team is finished. No, I'm just kidding, guys. For them to go to Milwaukee and get swept, I think that they got outplayed fully, like there was no doubt about it. But am I walking out of this weekend with major concerns and major questions? Not necessarily. I don't think I could feel better after a sweep. We know how talented this team is. I still think they're a very good ball club. I think that there's issues that they need to sort out for sure, especially on the bullpen side of things. But I'm Joe Sixpack, clocking for another edition of the Fireside Yankees podcast. But I don't feel horrible, Ryan. I mean, like, when you walk out of a 3-game sweep going away, I don't hate it. Like, there's problems that we have that we're going to discuss. I thought there was some good in there. Spencer Jones picks up his first MLB hit, which was cool. He played the entire weekend, which was fun to see. But, like, I don't hate this team right now, Ryan. Like, I don't have too many, like, outstanding questions after getting swept by a National League opponent.
Let me tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one sports pick app. It is a daily fantasy sports platform, and it's distinctly separate from sports betting. The app is super easy to use. Just pick more or less on a few player stats to build and lock in your lineups for the day. It's available in most states in the U.S., including California, Texas, and Florida. Let me show you just how easy it is to build a lineup. Let's look at some of the players that are going to be in today's slate of games. Mike Trout has been red hot. I think I'm going to take more 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. Press more right there. We just got to select two more players, and I think that's how we're going to build our lineup out. Sal Stewart has been red hot. He'll be facing the Giants today, and I'm going to select more on that one as well. And then Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, this guy is nasty. 3.5 Ks, Washington Nationals. I like more here. And with this nice little lineup here, we can clock it in. All you got to do is scroll down, press submit lineup, and look at how easy that is. Our lineup is now put together. Let's go check it out. I like my slate here. And if you guys want to tell my picks and tell my lineups and see how I'm doing, you can follow me at Ryan Garcia ESM on Prize Picks. And if you're ready to get in on the action, all you've got to do is download by clicking the link in our description, and you'll get $50 instantly when you play $5. Again, that's $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Let me know how you guys like the Prize Picks app, and play responsibly. We'll see how this lineup ends up doing, and we'll report back to you with our findings later tonight. I saw somebody tweet about this, and I got it, man. Oh, I'm blanking on the account name. Oh, I know the account name. It was, and pardon the language here. It was Yankee Slut. They tweeted this out.
Okay.
They said it's not like an early thing with the 2025 with the 2026 Yankees where we're like, oh, well, we're jumping the gun on them being good, or jumping the gun on them being able to hit, or jumping the gun on the bullpen problems. This is just the 2025 Yankees, right? And yeah. I do think there are improvements, right? Like, I think there are improvements that they made. And I do think there are some areas where, like, third base is not Oswald Peraza for half a year, which cost them games. This is what I would say is this is the post-deadline 25 Yankees, which was a really good team. If you look at their win pace, like they played really well. I actually think the rotation's going to get better when they get Cole back and all that. I do want to touch on Cole Rodon a little bit later, but like the bullpen has questions. It's a little bit different this time. It isn't, who's closing? It's what's the bridge to the closer? But it's overall a bullpen question. We don't know which guys are going to reliably give you outs every single night. You can't keep pressing the Brent Hedrick button. We did not get some great head this week. And it was some pretty bad head on Saturday.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It was not what you wanted. But point is, like, this group has been taxed, like the main guys have been taxed using the same like three guys in high leverage, or four guys, sorry. It's Hill if there's a lefty, Hedrick in any situation, Cruz in any situation, Bednar in the ninth. And that's like what they've been doing. Hedrick is, I think, among the top of the league in terms of usage. Hill has been used a ton. Their bullpen stats look really good compared to what you would expect based on their performance. But here's my thing. I think it's all Fugazi, right? All Fugazi. I don't even know.
No, yeah. So here's actually the thing that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
So I saw somebody post it on Instagram yesterday. I forget what the account was, but it was talking about how good their bullpen's been. It was like there. So the Yankees have the second lowest bullpen ERA as a group in Major League Baseball. It's at 3.25, right? Mm-hmm. However, to couple with that, they've thrown the fourth least amount of innings of any bullpen in Major League Baseball. So they haven't had to use their bullpen a ton because of how great their starting pitching's been. However, when we get this bullpen in larger samples, they are a bad and flawed group to the core of it. So when you look at the base statistics, well, they have a 3.25 ERA. They're getting the job done. It's because we're seeing it in the mop-up games when we have three innings from Paul Blackburn and he doesn't give up a run. We're seeing it, like Hedrick's been awesome this year, obviously, for this team. But it's been in such a shorter sample size compared to the rest of the league. And the likes of Schlittler and Fried and Warren and Weathers have been so good at the top of the rotation for them when they're giving you 6, 7, 8 innings in appearance, so you're not using your bullpen a ton. So there isn't a large sample of what this bullpen is yet, right? But when we get it in a larger dose, it tends to see them lose more baseball games. So that's like my kind of thing with this bullpen right now is like, hey, like we're actually not seeing them a ton because the starters have been so good.
I'd even point out, like, from an impact standpoint, right? Now, I understand, you know, results for relievers is a little bit wonky, too. Like, and the Yankees could have, like, a week where they have six high-leverage games and the bullpen shuts out all of them, and then we're sitting here, like, the numbers change dramatically, right? Because we're still early enough in the season when that's the case, and relievers are volatile. Sam, they're second in ERA, but they have a negative 0.05 win probability added. So, in layman's terms, they've actually hurt the Yankees teams, the Yankees odds of winning, or they've had no impact on their winning. The bullpen has not really performed well when they've been asked to win you a ball game. I think of a couple of games where the starter's been knocked out early in recent memory. Fried got knocked out early, but it wasn't really like on, like the bullpen wasn't why they lost that game. They just couldn't, you know, it is what it is. Right. Yesterday, like Rodon gets knocked out. The bullpen, for the most part, like kept you in the game, but they couldn't go blow for blow with the Brewers bullpen. When you have to extend this group to include Doval in big spots, when you have to overuse Brent Hedrick, and Hedrick's not a good left-on-left guy, so Bauer's taking him yard wasn't too surprising. You know, Hill's a loogie, right? Like, Hill's a good reliever. I love Tim Hill. He's really good at what he does. This is not Tim Hill slander. It's just that, like, this is a loogie, right? Like, this is a guy who you want to throw in against lefties. You don't really want to throw much against righties. Cruz is so wild that he can't really be a fireman, right? Like, he's such a swing-and-miss guy that you theorize that he's profiles in that role, but he doesn't have any commands. So what ends up happening is what we saw on Saturday night, which is Brian McMahon comes through with a big hit in the top half of the 10th inning, two outs, two strikes, and Aaron Ashby, who might be the greatest reliever I've ever seen in my life. And the, you know, I think it was Luis Sanjifo, he scores around to bunt, and Cruz fires a pitch straight into the dirt that gets by the backstop. They got to run on third, nobody out. He's going to score. He's going to score. It doesn't matter what you do from that point, unless you strike out the next two guys, which I guess Cruz is capable of, but the odds of that are low. So your fireman doesn't have at all any command at all. He doesn't know where the ball's going, and that's killing him. Your second or third best reliever by wins above replacements, Tim Hill. He is a left-on-left guy. Hedrick has also has issues against lefties and has gotten killed by them traditionally with the Yankees, so you can't throw him in a left-on-left-only role. You do have to care a little bit about the ways you use him. And then Bednar's your closer, which means he's anchored to that ninth inning. As a free agent, I'm sure that Bednar and his agent have communicated some stuff about usage rates, given that he's about to enter free agency. Like, I'm sure that's part of the conversation. He's not going to want to come into situations where he can't get saves or where isn't the ninth inning in a tie game. So what you end up with is a bullpen where you have to be very specific in the usage rate. There aren't any outside of Bednar, but again, he's a closer, so you can't do this in the seventh or eighth inning. There aren't any, oh, it doesn't matter who's up, throw this guy out there, he's gonna get the job done. That doesn't exist.
No, it is not. Are we there with Doval? Let's take a step back for just a second, right? Like, think about going into 26. I know that, like, they need a fireman so bad, right? I think that the probable hope for what their fireman was going to be Doval, because, like, I think that he had the full ability to be able to be that guy. And I think that what we've seen from him in the past is, yeah, you could fill out that role. You could be dominant. You could be one of the best relievers in the sport. The first week of ball, we saw it, right? But I feel like every time we see him now, it's horrible. And I think I might be at the point where it's like, dude, how much longer are we going to keep this going? Because I feel like it's impossible for him right now, right? Like, it's like nothing seems to be working for Camilo Doval in this Yankee bullpen.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna get a little bit critical here to an extent that sometimes gets me a little bit, like, you know, I think
it's deserved too.
Well, how do I put this, right? So I'll give you an example. Jake Bird sometimes hangs a slider and it gets hammered. I don't think Jake Bird's trying to hang a slider. I just think he's got issues locating it. That's not a mental error. That's a physical error. And physical errors are a little different in the sense that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, you should just not miss. It's like that happens, right? It doesn't mean that I'm going to use that to say, oh, he's fine. It's just like, hey, his issues are something that I'm sure he's trying to fix, but not sure he will be able to. Camilo Doval is facing Bryce Tarang, 2-2 count, two outs. His slider has a opponent batting average of .389 and an .833 slug. His fastballs have an opponent batting average of around 200 with, I think, like a sub-300 slug. He throws a 2-2 slider to Tarang, middle-middle. Tarang fouls it off. I don't know if this was Austin Wells. I don't know if this was Camilo Doval. I don't know who it was. Whoever it was, just unacceptable. He then throws another slider, and whoop-de-doo, he misses in zone. Tarang lines it for a single. Doval has not been able to locate that slider at all. Mm-hmm. It's either not a competitive pitch, or it's not a competitive pitch in zone. At least when you throw it out of zone, it's ball one, ball two, ball three. You get the ball back. When you hang it in zone, it's going to get crushed. He's given up 3 home runs this year. 2 of them have come off his slider. His slider's his least used pitch. If Camilo Doval's not going to be a fastball-heavy guy, if Camilo Doval, if I have to worry about Camilo Doval thinking that the slider's the right call there, throwing your worst pitch in back-to-back situations, you can't. I'm not talking about low leverage. That's not what I'm talking about here, Sam. I'm talking about Scranton. No, I'm being serious. Scranton. Yeah. Buy in, get in, or get out. It's that simple, man. We're talking about winning damn ball games. You want to mess around with your slider? Do it in a side session. Do it in triple. That's what Volpe's doing right now. He doesn't know where swing's at. He's messing with it in triple. You want to throw your bad slider and you want to cost the team ball games? Do it in triple A. That's simple. I don't like calling players out like this because at the end of the day, man, number one, it's not personal. It's not. This is my, you know, I try to analyze things objectively. But number two, in most cases where people are like, this guy isn't trying, they're trying. It's just not working.
Right.
I got to question the preparation pregame for either Austin Wells or Camilo Doval. And this does extend to Wells too, where, dude, what's your pregame preparation looking like? I saw that article about how the catchers were befuddled at the idea of managers calling pitches from the dugout or coaches. Yo, if you guys don't clean that crap up, yeah, I'm going to want Matt Blake to call pitches. Because in the World Series, in the postseason, DS, the CS, I don't, if that's what you're going to be doing and you're going to be hitting .180, hey, Ryan Jeffers is a rental. Adley Rutschman's a year and a half away from free agency. The Yankees got guys that can move around. All right? Like, it's, look, I'm not looking at this team as, are they good or are they not good? I think this team can win the freaking World Series, man. So any part of this team that can be tweaked, that anyone that isn't really all the way in or isn't preparing or isn't going about their business the way that needs to be gone about to win a World Series, we talked about it with Volpe, we talked about it with Grichik, we talked about it with Heal. Scranton's right there. Scranton's a 4-hour drive from New York. It's not even, the Yankees don't even need to pay for a flight. They can pay for a bus ride.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say on that regard. That's not a physical error. That's a mental error. That can't happen. That simple.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that plug gets pulled relatively quickly. I mean, like, we have not seen, from what I expected out of that player specifically compared to what we've seen of him as a Yankee, it's been a complete rock slide. It's been the exact opposite as far as the dominant reliever that I thought that was going to come in. Like, I thought that when they traded for Doval last year, I remember you and I, like, were sitting here talking about it, like, in real time when it happened.
I was off the moon. I thought that that was their best acquisition, like at the deadline last year. I thought that the potential that he had as an arm was going to be like immense as far as like, hey, like this is your eighth and a guy. Maybe this is your closure. Bednar doesn't work out. Like, obviously, at the time they sold Williams and Weaver, but I thought that he was their most A, impressive, and B, explosive arm that they had in that bullpen. Now I'm at a point where I don't even want to see a pitch. I think that if you pull up the trust tree, he might be on the bottom. Like, he might be the guy that's on the bottom. Like, it might be Bird above him at this point in time, Ryan, because I know that they're not going to lean on Bird in these high leverage situations, but they will lean on Doval because of namesake, because of who he is and what he's done in his major league career. And I just don't know how much longer we're going to continue to push that button. So
yeah,
I think that you do bring up a good point as far as like, hey man, like maybe we send you down to Scranton for a second. Maybe you go down to Scranton for a second, figure something out, see what you got, come back up. Because like, I think there's another guy down there that you and I kind of talked about a pre-show. I know that you want to bring out this whole theory as far as a potential fireman and what he could be for this team. We could make that swap right now. I think that they could make that swap right now, and it would be super effective from day one.
I don't disagree with you, Sam, at all. And for you guys kind of knowing to understand what he's alluding to here, let's look at the 1996 Yankees for a second here. The most valuable reliever on that team by war, by really any metric you want to look at, was Mariano Rivera. But he did not lead the team in saves. In fact, he wasn't close. Like John Wetland was their primary closer. John Wetland was a free agent at the end of the season. It was funny. Sam was like, oh, you're going to make me look bad. Sam was like, oh, yeah, it wasn't John Wetland their closer? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right, so you, Sam, we didn't even watch that. We were not old enough to watch that team. You know ball, man. Don't ever doubt yourself.
Unc wasn't even alive yet, bro.
Nah, bro.
Uncle's not alive yet, bro. But that was just a thought, dude.
I think it's a market inefficiency to have a reliever who's your best reliever, or at least as good as your best reliever on paper, who isn't tied to the ninth inning. So, look, closer by committee doesn't work, right? Because pitchers like knowing their role. They like knowing when they're coming into a game. So you can't do Bednar coming into the seventh and eighth, and then you just figure out who's closing from there. That's not going to work. You're going to need somebody who is as good, if not better, who can fill into that eighth, seventh, whatever role, and they're coming into these big spots where, like Doval on Saturday, where it's Terang and William Contreras and all these dudes, you've got your best or second-best guy going in that spot, your 1A or your 1B. Carlos LeGrandjean, his first two innings of work at the minor league level this season, has a 39.2% strikeout rate, an opponent batting average of 111, and an opponent slugging percentage of 227. Now, the walk rate's 13.7%. That is a bit high. But with that strikeout rate, who cares, right? If you're striking out 39% of batters faced, I don't care if you're walking 13%. That's a strikeout to walk percentage of around 25 to 26%. And he isn't allowing damage contact. It's the innings following. So it's the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. I don't know if he's pitching to the seventh, but I included this in the sample size in case. I can't lie. I kind of did this on a rush.
Right.
Strikeout rate's 22.2%. Opponent slugging percentage is 650. So LeGrande has figured out how to get guys out first time through the order, first two innings. He hasn't figured out third, fourth, fifth, sixth innings. That's fine. That's fine, because you can come up and be plugged in as a reliever. It makes the 2026 Yankees better. You can utilize him in a multi-inning role. And yeah, he'll still end the season with around 100 to 110 innings pitched between the minor leagues and the major leagues, because you're utilizing him in that kind of role where he can come in and just serve as your bridge to Bednar. I'd point to another relevant major league example, not because I think he's going to be as good as this guy, but because of kind of like the outlier velocity and the elite level stuff. Mason Miller. Mason Miller walked a bunch of batters in his time as a starter, and then he got shifted to the bullpen, and he was awesome. You know, Mason Miller walked 12% of batters faced last year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody care?
No.
No, nobody cares.
Not at all.
Nobody cares in the slightest, and if you do, nope. You're a dork. He's awesome. He doesn't know where the ball's going. But this year he's figured out his command a little more, but he's never really known where the ball's going. He just has outlier stuff and he utilizes it to be the best reliever in the game. I'm not saying LeGrande is going to be that immediately, but if he can come up and be an option, that's great. I want them to still add a big time piece to the deadline. Ideally, that big time piece is who you slot into that eighth guy role.
Yeah.
Maybe LeGrande plays into that, but you don't want to place that level of expectation on him. My point is the Yankees need to start shuffling around pieces in this bullpen, because there's some dead space here. There are some guys that it doesn't feel like they're going to turn it around. And very importantly, like, it's all in. It's 26. It's go to the World Series or I'm going to be really disappointed about this season. That's right. Where I'm at with this team. I think they're that good.
So, first off with the bullpen.
Yep.
We still have the Yarby Blackburn question. That's like one of you has to go. I don't think we need either of you. And it is May 11th and we're still asking that question. So I think that at some point in time, we'll see them go. I think that the Duvall Legrande swap makes sense. But I also, the point that I do want to bring up here with the whole Legrande thing is they've been pushing the buttons on the young guys. Like they pushed the Yammer button. They pushed the Spencer Jones button. I think that there's two more buttons over the course of this season specifically that they could push. The first button's Legrande, and then the second button is Lombard. And I do not think that they won't use them this year. I think that at some point in time, we will see both of those players on the big league roster. At some point in time, I'm not sure when, but I do think that they press both of those buttons, and I think that they want to get Legrande the big league experience this year. And listen, like we talked about it last week. The front office is moving unbelievably differently. Like this is different from them. So, like Volpe staying down, them bringing up Jones and using Dominguez as their everyday DH when Stanton got hurt, and bringing up Elmer to make the spot start instead of Luis Gil. I think that the Legrande swap makes sense, and I think that he could be an impact player for them relatively immediately in this bullpen. Where, hey, listen, man, like these are the questions that we have. And we haven't had to bring up these questions because the starting pitching has been so good, so we haven't seen a ton of this bullpen. So I think that you can slot Legrande in, let him go. Let's see what you got. We've seen what we've gotten from Camilo Duvall. I think that was, for Duvall specifically, I think that he was a player that we gave a lot of leeway to, right? Because we're like, hey, like, let's see what you got. We know that your stuff is nasty. We'll see where you go. The experiment looks like it's failing. So I think that it's time at this point now, hey, man, like, let's pull the plug. Like, there's not a ton of value that we're getting from here, right? Next thing is, a couple weeks ago, you and I talked about Duran, Philadelphia. Yeah. That's not going to happen. No way.
Yeah, they're
okay
going to
keep winning games, 110%. And I've been saying it for weeks. Their number, like you mentioned it earlier, their number one objective at the deadline is going to be a big-time bullpen arm. Like, that is going to be what they want. It's either going to be that or they get a left side of the infield infielder, whether it's like a third baseman or a shortstop, right? Like, if they don't want to press the Lombard button and they want to kind of figure out their stuff before they see the Jazz free agency and just add another infielder as is, right? But their number one objective is going to be a big-time bullpen arm. Now, a question that I want to pose to you, and I said this a couple weeks ago, and it happened again yesterday.
Yeah.
David Bednar kind of has Yankee closer syndrome. Mm. Like, he kind of has Yankee closer syndrome. Do you have outstanding questions about David Bednar, or is it a thing where, you know, like, it's a couple blip spots, like, you'll be okay? Because I feel like when we see him come in, right, racks up saves for sure, but if it's a 3-run ball game, we're always giving up one. If it's a 4-run ball game, we're always giving up two. We give the first pitch walk-off home run yesterday. Like, are there outstanding questions about Bednar, or are you more patient with him compared to a lot of the other relievers on the roster?
Look, I think David Bednar, like, I think he's a really good pitcher. Like, I have faith in Bednar. But that does bake into my conversation about, like, having a guy who I think, because I think you can get somebody who's better than Bednar, but I would keep Bednar anchored to my ninth inning role.
Okay.
Because I think over the course of 162, his numbers are going to even out a bit. There are a couple of things that are really killing him right now. His opponent batting average on balls in place, 367.
Yeah.
His left on base percentage is 63.6%. Now, that's partially because he's giving up runners, but also because the amount of runners he's allowing is bloated by bad defense. He hasn't allowed a lot of barrels. Yesterday was actually, I think, the first home run he allowed all year, which is really cool. He's kept the ball on the ground a ton. Now, the velocity was down. We've seen it creep up a little bit. I'm not convinced that, like I think the Bednar we saw down the stretch last year was just so utterly dominant that because he's just really good instead of utterly dominant, we're kind of getting that, like, you know what I even, you said Yankee closer syndrome. I would compare it to kind of like Clay Holmes, where Clay Holmes was insane when he first mm-hmm. got here.
Yes.
And then was good in 23, like wasn't great, but was good. And then by 24 started blowing saves and we were like, this guy sucks. And I think we're in the stage of Bednar's just good. He's a good closer. Like he's a firmly above average closer.
Right.
He's just not what he was when he first got here. And so we're kind of like, oh, is something wrong? Like, what's the long-term value here? Like, what's X, Y, and Z? I want another guy to bridge to him. I want another guy
for
to bridge
sure.
him. I want the guy that I can bridge to him. And I want that. I think that guy has to be and can be as good, if not better. So long story short, I'm not worried about Bednar, but I do think like that 36% strikeout rate sub 2 ERA isn't happening. I think that's
right.
Both of those are true, if that makes
sense. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that makes sense. And I do my last thought on the bullpen, okay? Tim Hill's not the closer. Tim Hill's not the closer. Tim Hill will pitch in his lanes, and that's about it. If you want Tim Hill to pitch in the eighth or the ninth inning, it's not going to work, guys. I promise you that. It is not going to work. I love you in the sixth inning. I love you in the seventh inning. I love you against left on left. Don't want to see you against a righty. Tim Hill's not going to pitch in the eighth inning, guys. The statistic sheet looks really pretty. But you see in weird spots, shout out Saturday night, one of the weirder plays I think that I've ever seen. He's not a high leverage guy. Love him. Great reliever. You're just not good. He's not the closer. And whoever tweeted that a couple weeks ago, don't want to see it again.
He is exactly what you want, like your fifth best reliever or fourth best reliever to be.
Correct.
Like that's exactly what that is. And that's good. Like you're getting this for, $2.85 million a year.
Golden.
You
love
got him
it.
Off the waiver wire from the White Sox.
Sick. Sick.
He's
love
like,
it.
You know what it is? It's one of those things where if we start assigning greater roles to players who are already doing a great job of filling their like important but not like franchise core piece role, then we start getting into really then what we're doing at that point is we're just setting them up to fail. And like
right.
you should not set up Tim Hill to fail.
Yeah.
Like he isn't your closer. He isn't your eighth inning guy. He is your he's it's a nice kind of like he throws a bunch of strikes, which is nice. Like he does all the things that are like stylistically, you know, kind of gives you a little bit of a breather.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, if he gives up two hits in the first two batters and gets the next guy out, like they're pulling him. That's kind of the reliever he is.
I'll just sound like Booney and just say, hey, like in your lanes. Like,
yeah.
Tim Hill in his lanes, like we're good.
You know,
outside of that, like
I'll make a comparison here. J.R. Smith is one of the best 3-and-D guys you could have had in the 2010s. You would not mistake in J.R. Smith for a number two option on a championship contender.
Correct. Shout out R-Ball Pod.
Shout out R-Ball Pod. Bro. R-Ball Pod.
Shout
you
out R-Ball
what?
Pod.
Shout out J.R. Smith, bro.
Shout out R-Ball Pod. Smith. Shout out J.R. Smith.
You going to shout the Knicks too, Sam?
No, absolutely not.
You're not going to shout out our Knicks?
Absolutely not. I don't know what this hour thing is.
Yeah, no, dude, I mean, look, man, I thought you'd have a greater deal of respect for the Knicks considering their second best player is a fellow Latino like yourself making it in the sports world.
You know, that is funny. That is funny. It's funny. You is there anything else you want to share with the class today, Mr. Garcia?
I would like to share some Garrett Cole and Carlos Rodon stuff because I think,
okay, that's
like
fine.
We'll start with Rodon because Rodon pitched Sunday. Stay with me here. I swear to God, I'm not trying to just be a shill. I was happy with Carlos Rodon on Sunday.
I'm going to agree with you.
He threw hard. I was worried he was going to come out pumping 92.
No, so the velocity looks really good. I thought the stuff looked good. Obviously, the location was not there. Yeah. Walking five guys is not super ideal. But
no.
I think that like the product of what we got from him yesterday is perfectly okay. And I think that it's only going to be up from here for Carlos Rodon. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to slam the panic button. The velocity looked good. I mean, what was he sitting, 95, 96 yesterday?
Yep.
I thought the slider looked really good. I think we'll be fine with him. Like, I think that this is just a thing of like, hey, like this is your first start off of a major elbow surgery. You were rehabbing in double A and high A for the past couple of weeks. Like, you're not seeing major league hitters. So I think that we're only going to be better with Carlos Rodon. Like, I'm not going to sit here and slam him after that start. Not at all.
Yeah, this is a long-term thing. Like, we're looking like we're taking a step back. The individual start itself obviously wasn't good, but like step back, long-term. Velocity
right.
is good. Arm health is good. I think people actually confuse this about pitchers. Location actually takes longer to reestablish, not stuff. Stuff actually should come back almost immediately from a rehab assignment. Sometimes it takes guys a little bit. Like Garrett Cole, kind of like his fastball was a little cold the first few starts when he came back in 24.
Mm-hmm.
But his command took longer to return than his velocity. Point is, like, stuff returns before command goes. Much like when you're hurt, velocity actually goes after command goes. First, you're like airing it out, doing whatever you can to air it out, and you don't know where the ball's going.
Right.
And then your velocity goes, and you know where the ball's going, and then you hit the eye out. This was his hardest velocity start in terms of fastball velocity since April 18th of 2025.
Wow.
So, safe to say.
Wow.
Yeah, safe to say.
Yeah, we're good. I'm not worried. Yeah, I'm not worried about him.
Mm-mm. But obviously you want him to throw more strikes. That,
right.
But I think he's aware of that. So
yeah. It's going to be super difficult for me to walk away from that start and like be freaking out. Right. Yeah. Like unless we're seeing 92 and like he just kind of got launched, but that didn't happen. So like, I don't have overwhelming questions about Kershaw. And like, this is your four guy. Like, he is now your four starter. So like, do I want you to be great? Of course. But I think that my questions also lessen because you're the four guy.
Yep.
So we're okay.
And for Gerrit Cole, I mean, his last rehab start, he's gotten hit around on his rehab starts, and I wasn't worried about it, but I've always been eyeing the velocity. It was around 94, 95, and then, you know, you're like, okay, cool. You want to see it tick up. You're like, maybe it ticks up when he gets back to the big leagues. Yesterday, 5 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts, 2 earned runs. Most importantly, Sam, a lot of 97, a lot of 96, and a couple of 98s. He was sitting around 96 miles per hour. I know, like, we don't want to over-index rehab starts, but the fact that his fastball velocity, we saw 98 in, like, the 4th inning.
Yeah.
He looks like the velo's back. I know everyone's clowning him. Oh, he's fat now, this, that, and the 3rd. No. He needs a little bit of that. How else do you want him to throw hard? What, you want him to come back 20 pounds skinnier and 2 years older throwing hard? Yeah, man.
That's his guess.
I'm tired of this shit, man. I really am. Because you know what it is, man? You know what it is, man? People think that pitchers and quarterbacks need to look like supermodels. Look at Patrick Mahomes when he's shirtless, man. That's what quarterbacks look like. That's what quarterbacks look like. Got to be a little thick.
Can we not compliment, like, of all people that we're going to compliment today? Does it have to be
him? You know what? I got a better one for you. Do you think Josh Allen's got a six pack under there? Nah, he's a big, strong guy. He's a tree trunk.
He's a beefy dude.
Josh Allen could drag your edge rusher and your interior defensive lineman and your linebacker, all three of them at once. He could drag him across the yard line as he's getting that first down. Because he's got, you know, you can't be too lean. And for pitchers, if Cole comes back too lean, he's not going to throw strikes. I think the rest of him looks a little stronger too. It's not like just a little bit of a thicker belly. It's like he's a thicker belly, but the arms are a little bigger.
Right.
Legs are a little bigger. And he's still moving really well down mound. Visually, I actually think his release point's a little lower. That's a visual thing. I can't confirm that. But he looks like, dude, his fastball top zone, oh, it looks gorgeous, man. It really does look.
Yeah, I mean, he's built like a crunch wrap, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it's perfectly fine. You know, so I think it was like last week I was telling you this on this show.
Yep.
I was like, I think he's bored. Like, well, we were at that point 4 rehab starts in with Cole, and I think it was the one after he gave up the 5 runs. Like, he gave up the 5 runs, and everybody was like, oh my goodness, look at him. He's going to fire. Like, I genuinely think that Gerrit Cole is bored, and I think that this last one is the true ramp up as far as let me start giving you everything.
Yep.
So, like, we're kind of getting to the point where, I mean, like, are we looking at 1 or 2 more rehab starts, and then we're back up in the big leagues? Like, he is probably ready for major league hitters. Like, and probably has been for a while. And I think that him slow playing the comeback is not him. I think it's the team. I think that he's probably been like, yeah, like, I don't want to pitch in minor league ballparks anymore. Like, it's like, I'm ready to go. Like, so let's rock. And I think that this last one, as far as, I mean, like, Ryan, we saw 98 in March, dude. So, like, I never had questions about the velocity. We saw the 98 in spring training. We saw it in Arizona when he went out there and pitched against the Cubs in that final spring training game. Like, it's kind of all there. Like, and it's kind of been there. I just think that he was kind of bored and just was like, hey, like, I kind of don't want to play for the Hudson Valley Renegades anymore. I think I want to pitch for the New York Yankees. So, here's actually something I'll ask you about Cole.
Yeah.
So when Cole comes back, all right, September 1st, okay?
Yep.
Everybody's healthy.
Yep.
Who are the 4 best guys?
Okay, so I had questions about Rodon in terms of stuff, but the stuff looked great, so I'm going to say Rodon slots in as your 4. I think I'm gonna say Cole's your three, just based on the information we have right now. Freed's your two, but like this is no disrespect to Max Fried. It's actually harder for me to figure out whether Fried's a two or three. It's not. It's a lot easier for me to figure out who's the one right now.
Right. Yeah.
It's Cameron Schlittler. Schlittler. Let me make something very clear, because I got a lot of blowback on this on social media, and like I gotta clarify, guys. I like Max Fried. I think he's a really good pitcher, but this isn't a conversation. Right?
No.
Look, this guy took 109 off the calf, Sam, and it was effortless after that. He's that good. So that's my 1-4. It's Schlittler, Fried, Cole, Rodon. Biggest question, whether Cole jumps from 3 to 2. I guess the other question, does Cole jump from 2 to 1 or 3 to 1? But I'm going to be honest, I actually don't foresee that happening just based on how good Mr. 1 Cam Schlittler has been this season.
Yeah, shout out Cameron. Friend of the show. I actually spoke to him this morning. We're going to Baltimore tonight, so I'm going to go see if I can say what's up to him pregame. Shout out Cameron. I mean, like, yet again, this is your American League Cy Young. I don't like, what are we talking about here? I think it's an interesting question to pose because of the talent that's in that room. Right. So like we look at Max Fried and Gerrit Cole, obviously coming back from the injury. I love Max Fried. I think Max Fried's an awesome pitcher. He's been a top 10 pitcher in the sport since becoming a Yankee. But I have another guy on my roster who's been a top 4 pitcher in the sport since becoming a Yankee, and Cam Schlittler. Like, it's not what we've seen out of him is pure dominance, and just continues to happen. And at this point, it's passive. Like, I know what I'm going to get every time I see him. And if there's a blow up, it's not going to be a blow up. Like, it won't be Fried on Friday. Right, like that's not the Cam Schlittler blow up. The Cam Schlittler blow up is giving up 3. Like, if you ask me who's going to start a game one, I'm going to go Cam Schlittler 10 times out of 10. I think that it's an interesting question to pose because of the difference between Fried and Cole. Like, who's going to be their game two guy? I think I'd probably go with Fried, just as far as like, you know, we've already seen what the product is, and we don't know what Cole's going to be when he comes back to the big league roster. But I think it's a fun one to pose because I'm like, I'm probably going Schlittler, Fried, Cole, Rodiz in a playoff series. I think that probably makes the most sense. And like, is anybody beating that in the American League? Like, is any team, is there a 4 out there that can give me that? And like, here's the other thing too, Ryan. We talked about this with Fried and like Crochet. So like the comparison between Fried and Crochet, as far as like, you know, in a game one scenario, who's going to give me a win? We were taking Crochet, right? Like, cause we were like, Crochet is like the certified ace. Like, he's going to go out there and get me a win. We're like, we love Max Fried, but he's not going to be Gerrit Crochet on that day.
Yeah.
Cam Schlittler's that guy.
Yeah.
Like, Cam's going to win you a game one, right? Like, in the American League, I mean, it's him and Schubel.
And
Schubel's hurt. And so is Crochet.
But we also have a better offense than those teams. So I'm going to tell you something right now. Schubel versus Schlittler, cookies. I don't care where.
Yeah.
Detroit, New York.
Shout out Keon Coleman. Dong.
Yeah.
No, yeah, low cookies.
Cam Schlittler, look, man. Let me read off some stats for you. Okay, let me just read off some statistics. You know me, the numbers guy here on the podcast.
Okay,
your regional.
What are we at?
135
now with him, man.
Oh, I'm not looking at just this season because it's too small of a sample size, right? Okay. Let's look at since he's come up, right? Because clearly, I mean, look, Yankee fans are just we're just stupid, crazy idiots. We're just American League pitchers. Number one in ERA since coming up. And don't get me, well, I guess Schubel's in the qualified pitcher. No, he is over the sample. Same amount of innings, 126.1 to 122.2 mm-hmm. for Schubel. Better ERA. Schubel's at 2.57. The FIP, 2.86 for Cam. Schubel, 2.83. He's second, Schlittler. So he's right up there with one, Tarek Schubel. Expected FIP, Schlittler's third. Crochet, Schubel, DeGrom, 1-2-3. 4, Schlittler, Cameron. Wins above replacement, Cameron, number one. You know who's number two over that time span? It's not Schubel.
Probably Fried. Right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, probably Fried, just because of the innings.
So just to give you guys, again, just to let you guys know, Cam Schlittler is top five in basically every important pitching statistic, both results-based and like based on his process as well. His stuff plus, which measures just your quality of stuff. Scoobs, Crochet, Schlittler. Yeah, I mean, what do you want me to tell you, Sam? This is the best pitch in the American League right now. Just is. He just is. Sorry. Sorry if that offends. Max Fried isn't the number one because Max Fried isn't good. Max Fried's number one isn't the number one because instead of being the third or fourth or fifth best pitcher in baseball, he's like the 10th. Sorry, guys.
Shocks.
Oh,
dude.
And we just talked about that like Cole guy. I heard he's all right.
Dude that won a Cy Young 3 years ago.
Yeah. I also did some testing just to like, not testing, some research to see if I was right about the release height thing. His release height is actually a little down, which is
really
scary for hitters because.
Do you think that's a workshop? Do you think it's like a workshop thing?
Well, it's actually the same release height he had like in his peak years. So like his release height jumped a little bit as his arm health declined a little,
okay.
Which is usually what sometimes can happen. Your arm path kind of changes.
Right.
And yeah, he's back to free flowing. I'm releasing from a little bit of that like three quarters arm angle, and I got a really wide release point. And you could see it with the fastball movement too. It's getting a little more tail, which is something he lost in the last few years. Signature Cole is getting 10 inches of run, 17 to 18 inches of ride in his fastball, and that's yeah. We're back. So that guy's pretty good.
Offensive shoutouts. Shout out Nines. Yep. Nines is the greatest. Shout out, you know who my big offensive shout out is for the weekend?
Give it to me.
Friday night, the Miz just shoving it. Like nobody was touching the Miz. You know who got it though?
Who got it?
Cab Call. Two hits off of Jacob Mizrowski when literally nobody was doing anything. Like he was. I mean, he came out just pumping 102, 103 and saved the 104 for Spencer Jones in his first major league at bat. Jacob Mizrowski, you're an asshole. Like, that is ridiculous. Shout out Cab Call. Two hits off of Jacob Mizrowski Friday night. Like, you rock, dude. You're awesome.
Dude, I mean, it was crazy. I tweeted Hold on. The game start was 7:40. I tweeted this at 7:44. There are some games where you know you're absolutely bleeped by pitch like five. And yeah, man, we're getting carved up tonight.
Yeah, it was done. Like we were all sitting here, right? It was like, yeah, it's 5-0. It's like, yeah, like they're not hitting Mizrowski. It's just like, you know, like we're good guys. Like we're gonna pass on this one. Like, Jesus,
dude, man. I mean, Mizrowski wasn't just incredible. Mizrowski was excellent. He was throwing 104. I mean, right. Dude, he just was.
All right, that's one for the show. You're good.
That's the one reference. We get one reference.
But like that's so with this series specifically, like, and then they saw Harrison on a Saturday night. Yeah. Like I look at the pitching matchups and I'm like, yeah, like you ran into this like just horrible string.
This is hand like, on shoulder.
Like you run into the Miz Friday night and Harrison Saturday night. Like I'm not gonna sit here and like lose my mind over what you are offensively. It's just not gonna happen. I will say, I don't have like larger concerns, but like Rice came back this weekend and wasn't great. So like just something to monitor. Maybe it's the wrist thing still bothering him. I don't really know. But like I think he'll probably even out and be okay. He'll probably hit a home run tonight in Baltimore, like we'll be fine.
He owns the Orioles, so I'm gonna take a home run for Ben. And also I will say, like, there was some loud contact in that final game that didn't just drop for a hit. So we're back. Ben Rice is back. He hit a ball hard that didn't drop for a hit. I mean, that's the Ben Rice experience, right? Like,
That thing was roped to right field.
Yeah, and it just did not drop.
Roped to right field.
Just
did
not drop. Sean Paul Goldschmidt off the bench and just
Goldie. Yeah, lead off home run Saturday night.
Just rocks, dude.
Rocks.
All right. I think is there any other final notes we want to get to from this series, we start previewing this B-more series?
Yeah, I mean, like, not really.
Let's just hope we don't get swept again. I think is that where we're
I don't
at?
Think that's in the cards here.
I hope you're right. Let's get into these pitching matchups then. Wait! I did this two episodes in a row.
Yeah, dude, you're messing up.
Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. God. Oh man, this is actually this isn't that hard to pick. There are some actual like strong performers from this series. I don't want to get into troll territory yet, but I'm, you know, we'll see. Sam, Aspen Vodka. This episode of Fireside Yankees And everything really we do at Fireside Yankees is brought to you and partnered by Aspen Vodka. Not because we feel like it, but because Aspen's just such a damn good drink, man. You go to Yankee Stadium and you get to go watch this New York Yankee team, and you go to the concessions and you get yourself a Bronx Tale or you get yourself an espresso martini, man. I'm telling you, after that weekend, I might have needed an espresso martini. And, you know, I know Mother's Day just passed, but if you're running a little late on a gift, right, you know, get some Aspen. Give your mother a great time. Aspen. Clean, smooth. You have a great time. And honest to God, like, it's not even like one of those drinks where, you know, it feels like you're drinking at like a college party. It genuinely feels like it feels dignified.
Classy beverage.
Yeah.
Very classy beverage.
It's an affordable, classy beverage.
Yes.
In this economy,
100%. Yeah, shout out.
Hard to find.
We're like $5 for it.
Shout out Aspen. Yeah. Who's your Aspen Vodka player of the series, Sam? What you got for me?
Camilla Duvall. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Guys, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, listen, I just shouted him out. I'm like, it's going to the cap call. So, like, for a couple reasons, right? So, like, you get the multi-hit game off of the Miz, and nobody was touching the Miz. But you're also playing great shortstop. You're playing great shortstop. You're coming through at the bat. You're keeping the bad man in Scranton. Jose Caballero, you're the Aspen Vodka player of the series. Shout out to you, man. You're like the greatest. I don't know the last time I've loved the Yankee shortstop as much as I love Jose Caballero.
And like, honestly, is it Didi?
Is it Didi?
Yeah, probably.
Like, and I feel like the process got better.
Oh, dude, Jesus Christ, Jose. I can't, bro. Don't even get me started. I was having a good start on my Monday.
Volpe, no. Brad Cab. Like, it's like even like I might like Cab more than I like Didi.
I think relative to expectation, I think Didi holds a special place in my heart because he had the impossible job of following Derek Jeter.
Right.
To be fair to Jose Caballero, he just had to follow the act of Anthony Volpe.
He just had to be an average major leaguer.
And I'm going to say that Anthony Volpe is not a better player than Derek Jeter all time. I hope that's not controversial.
I don't think so.
I'm going to have to agree with that one. I agree with my own take on that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Caballero's ex-WOBA is sticking up. So, like, I was going to say
very nice.
I was going to say beat it, nerds, but, like, it's a little. It's
disingenuous, dude.
All seriousness, he made some great plays in series two. I mean, he's a joy to watch. He's got 9 defensive runs saved. Jesus Christ.
Yes. He's been an awesome defender at shortstop this year.
And he's been the 14th most valuable defender in all of baseball.
And that's Booney's stat, man. That's Booney's stat.
Yeah.
Booney's a DRS demon.
The DRS demon.
He's a DRS demon, so the Cab's not going anywhere, dude.
Shout out Caballero, because we could also slap DRS demon on him, too, but he's the Cab. It's a Cab call.
Yeah, he's got a great nickname. Cab call's got to stick. Like, we're not going anywhere. I'm calling a Cab.
One more note before I move off of Caballero, because I think this could potentially be really funny, and you might get a chuckle out of this one.
Okay.
Anthony Volpe's WAR last season was 1.6 on Baseball Reference. Jose Caballero's already at 1.6. On Fangraphs,
not surprising.
Jose Caballero's worth 1.1 WAR this year. Anthony Volpe's worth 1.0.
That's 1.0. Okay.
Is that a tweet? Are we tweeting that? Am I tweeting that?
Yes, I'm tweeting that. I'm not tweeting that. That's not happening.
Yeah, I'm tweeting that. Anyway, okay. Aspen Vodka player of the series, I'm going easy here. Cam Schlittler, the toughness to go out there and pitch the way he did off that. Really, like, that's 109 off the calf, dude. I fully was like, oh, he's dead. Great. Not, like, hurt for long term, but, like, he's out of this game. Like, there's no shot. He pitches. Like, maybe he pitches the first, that final inning, and then he goes back, sits down, it swells up, and then he gets taken out of the game. This was one of his best starts. Like, he was flawless. I felt like the command in zone was perfect. If you look at, like, a pitch heat map, like, I've never, like, had a pitcher outside of Garrett Cole and CC at their peak. And CCL's super young, so I don't think that's fair either. Who, like, every 5 days, I'm just like, dude.
Right.
Dog.
Yeah.
You're good. Did you see that stat about, like, his, like, just how like, his start to the season and how historic it was? I don't know. Like, this was crazy. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Let me see if I can find it real quick, because I'm unprepared, as always. You know, you're not Joe Six. I might be Joe Sixpack now.
No, dude, I'm Joe Sixpack. I have to claim that title, man. It's got to be me. Right. It's got to be me.
Cam Schlittler is the first MLB pitcher to have 50-plus strikeouts, fewer than 10 walks, no more than one home run allowed, and a sub-1.5 ERA over his first nine starts of a season since Walter Johnson in 1913, before World War One. Before World War One.
Okay. Okay.
That's crazy.
Does it get any better? does it get any better than that, dude? Like,
I used to, again, we genuinely, like, would tremble in fear at the idea of, like, the Yankees game one against a crochet. Now I'm just like,
no, like, I think that you have that guy now.
Yeah, like, I still fear them shutting down our offense. That's not what we're saying, but it's less like,
right,
wow, we're at a big pitching disadvantage. It's like,
no, but you can go toe-to-toe with one.
Yeah, again, I said this in a previous podcast. You know, Boone hands out that lineup card. It's Cam.
Straight.
Your guy's either Scooble or he's not. And
you're
if
good.
He's not, then, yeah, man, we're beating you. Right. Or we should beat you. We didn't beat them Saturday, but that's because of the bullpen. Anywho, that's my Aspen Vodka player of the series. Sam, let's do a series preview here, because not only are the Yankees going to Baltimore, you're going to Baltimore.
I'm
going to
go there twice.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go tonight and then Wednesday. We're going to go
right,
tonight
and Wednesday. You can't go 3 days in a row because bullpen usage. Boone doesn't like using his relievers 3 days in a row. So you're only guns getting hot. Guns getting hot.
I'm trying to be as hardworking as I can in this industry.
Yeah.
Bullpen, you know, I'm trying to get up. You know, just be around and just honestly just like be on the clock as much as I can and just be the hardest working individual I know I can be. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just trying to be the best.
Yeah. Tell Jose Caballero I love him for me. Thank you.
I will. Yeah. So it's funny. So tonight is, so I bought the tickets. It's a Mother's Day gift.
Wow.
So it's a Mother's Day gift. So I'm taking everybody. So like, obviously Ben's coming with me, my mom, my dad. We are sitting right next to the Yankee dugout.
Wow.
Like we are row three, like right next to the Yankee dugout. Like that shit was not cheap, but that is Mother's Day gift is we're going. And I'm gonna kiss the cat tonight. Like that's gonna happen.
There were so many directions you could have gone. That was not the one I thought. Anywho, shout out all mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day again.
Yes.
My mom is incredible, and I love my mom, and I want
her to know. You know, hold on 1 second.
What's up?
I gotta tell you guys. I gotta tell the national audience here.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mr. Garcia. Okay, Ryan texted me last night and goes, "You know, dude, tell your mom I said Happy Mother's Day." Does it get any better than Ryan Garcia on this planet?
I try to be classy.
You're awesome.
No, it does get better. Do I have 9 defensive runs saved at shortstop?
The Cam.
I don't. I just don't.
That guy
I don't.
Is awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, let's roll.
Yeah, series preview. Series. We're a series podcast. I don't, you know, we don't clown around. No tomfoolery on this podcast.
Correct.
Brandon Young versus Ryan Weathers is the Monday game. Trevor Rogers versus William Warren on Tuesday. And then the final game of this series, Cal Bradish versus Max Fried. Sam, we butchered it last time. We were, oh my God.
Oh my God.
That was bad. How is this going?
Oh, wait, I think I said that they were going to lose the series.
Yeah. You know what? I butchered it. You were on the money. You were close.
I think I said loss, win, loss, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I said they win. I mean, but they should have won Saturday. I'm gonna get so win loss win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they lose to Rogers tomorrow. Even though like Rogers has been really bad this year. I go win loss win. I think they win tonight. Who the hell is pitching for the Orioles tonight? You said Hunter Young,
Brandon Young.
That sounds like a kid I went to high school with. No idea.
See where he's from.
We'll go Weathers win. Honestly, dude. Very happy I'm not going tomorrow because that will be like my fifth Will Warren start of the year. Like literally every game that I've been to, Will Warren started. So like I'm okay. Also, I am kind of keyed in on that start tomorrow because it's against Rogers and he needs to bounce back after last week because he was really bad in that start last week and got kind of tossed around. So I hope we're looking at a sweep. You should be able to sweep this team because this Orioles team is not very good. And we saw that when they came to Yankee Stadium a week ago. However, I think we'll play on the side of caution. I'm going to go win, loss, win. How about yourself? What you got?
Look, the Yankees are coming off a sweep. You know, I think, you know, they played such good baseball. It's kind of like, it's got to balance itself out a little bit.
Right.
Today, I think they win. Tuesday, I actually do think they win that one, too.
Okay.
I think they're going to get that one. And, like, you know, I think Wednesday, they're going to win. I think they'll sweep the Orioles. I think I feel good about this one.
Okay.
At least two out of three. Like, the reason I'm saying this, look, I will say this. Pete Alonso's going to hit three home runs in this series.
Oh, yeah.
He owns us.
100%.
If you could pick a Pete Alonso home run, which you can do on Prize Picks, add, boom, look at me. You should take that. That's
cue
probably something that, like,
you're gonna cue the roll.
The roll has already been queued. But I think it's a ballpark that the Yankees have hit well in. Ben Rice, yeah. Aaron Judge just own the Orioles, and I think they're gonna hit in the series. Rogers is the one that scares me. Actually, I think Bradish and Rogers kind of have some fear factor to them. I know Bradish and Rogers have had poor seasons, but Rogers had, like, some crazy illness, and, you know, maybe that was, like, holding him back for Bradish.
Right.
I don't actually know what's off with him. His stuff is down, his location's down, but I feel like with a pitcher like him, he's always, like, he just struck out 10 guys with 3 earned runs, 7 innings pitching against the A's. Does he just, like, strike out 11 guys? That could happen.
Right.
Yeah, let's just, for the Yankee rotation, just throw strikes. Throw strikes. Don't walk guys. Like, don't. Please do not make me watch 4 innings of this bullpen in each of three games. Please. Please.
Weathers first game back tonight off the illness.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. I have to bake that in here, too.
I'm curious to see what he's going to look like.
Honestly, I'm looking at kind of how the last series played out where the offense just kind of battered the Orioles. The Yankees need their offense to kind of just
batter the Orioles. Yeah, this might be a slugfest.
That's what they're going to need, because I don't think their stars are going to pitch that deep into games now. No. I think about it.
Probably, like, the over tonight is I'm probably going to take the over tonight. It'll probably be at, like, 8.5, and I would take the over.
Tonight and tonight only, you can take over 1.5 bases for Max Schumann.
Today only. My favorite one ever is the C.J. Abrams plus 15,000 NL MVP rate. Shout out Chris Drew. C.J. Abrams plus 15,000. Like, dude, it's today only. P.J. Tucker, 5 threes. But you got to do like the 5 threes. $1,000 will win you $3 million.
Yo, Sam, I'm Wallen.
Shout out Club 520 Podcast, bro. It's like the best. They're so funny. Right.
We got to settle down here.
My fault.
Hey, settle down.
My fault. I'm not working hard enough.
Any final thoughts on this series?
No, man. Not too much. Camilla Duvall, smell ya, maybe?
Still get fucking slept.
Yeah,
be nice.
Smell you.
We did not play the song once this season.
No,
so let's,
tough.
Yeah, tough. Let's change that one. Let's play it 3 times.
Hike back to the match tonight, and we'll do it in person. I'll be able to do all this hooting and hollering in person.
Oh wait, you're going to lose one. We're going to lose one of these games actually, because you're going twice.
Why?
We're going to lose one. You can't win 2 in a row.
We didn't win when I went.
You're saying,
but it's not 2 in a row. I'm going.
No, you're doing 2 in 2 straight, 2 games.
Okay,
2
all right,
three.
Fair,
yeah,
fair,
dude,
fair,
dude,
fair.
We're dropping
probably
one of these
games. Wednesday. Okay. Wednesday's the day we lose. Wednesday's the day we lose.
Sure. We're gonna drop one of these games.
Yeah,
all right,
for sure.
Pete Alonso, please only hit one home run against us.
Yeah.
That'd
oh my
nice.
Goodness.
My chair keeps falling, which makes me look a midget. So I have to fix this before I do the outro. Yeah. Anywho. Thank you guys so much for tuning in here on the Fireside Yankees podcast. You can like, subscribe, and turn on that notification bell to support the page and join the Fireside Yankees family. If you guys like this kind of content and you want to see more of it on social media, we've got Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and of course this YouTube page. I want to thank our sponsors, both Prize Picks and Aspen Vodka. Again, links to everything will be in the description. You can follow me at Ryan Garcia ESM on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Sam, where can we find you?
At Sam Lucchini, ESM on Twitter, at Sam Sports Talk on Instagram. You can follow my personal Instagram, at Sam Lucchini on Instagram. You can also follow Fireside Yankees on all platforms, because that's where I post every single day.
Joe Sixpack clocking out.
Joe Sixpack
clocking out. Ryan Garcia
clocking
out.
Perfect.